Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Katrina Trinko of National Review in for Jim Garrity today, who is off on the National Review cruise. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. It's the final Three Martini Lunch of the week, and the last one until Monday, August 12th. Katrina, it's great to have you with us again today. Thanks for being here.
Great to be back again.
We have a good martini and two bad martinis, really, today. The third one's really more of a second bad one than a crazy one. But let's start with the potentially good news for conservatives. We saw after the Republicans lost again in 2012, they did this soul searching. They came up with this long report on what the party needs to do better, and most of the attention was focused on immigration reform and that sort of thing. But also reforming the process by which the next nominee is selected was out there. Fewer debates was one of the things. Another thing that people are looking at is when the convention will be held. When George W. Bush was first nominated in 2000, he was nominated late July, very early August. But then every Republican convention after that has either been very late August or early September. And in addition to dodging hurricanes, or at least having to watch hurricanes, even if the convention was nowhere near the Gulf Coast, there's other factors here as well that could potentially be a good move for the Republican Party if they move it back that I know you've been following. What's the upside here?
Well, the great upside is if they move it forward a bit to July, June or so, it allows them to start using general election funding as soon as the convention is held. That's key because Romney this year was really hampered. He was sort of out of money in the summer thanks to a very heated primary, but he still had to use from his primary donations that summer. So Obama spent $25 million on ads, and Romney really didn't have the money to respond back. Yeah, he did respond in September, October, but by then the damage had been done. So there's really no good reason to hold it as late as the Republicans have been holding it.
On to martini number two now, and the proprietors of the Orange Julius, the Einstein Bagel Bakery, and the transit section of the Moscow airport have lost a customer. That's because Edward Snowden has been granted temporary asylum by the Russian government. The Obama administration apparently did not even get advanced warning of this. Extremely disappointing, I think, is the terminology coming from the administration. They're threatening not to hold an upcoming summit here, Katrina. A lot of conservatives are wondering here, whatever happened to the reset button, and did things ever really get any better with this administration in terms of its relationship with Russia? The Snowden example would certainly seem to indicate that things have not gotten better anytime recently.
This reset that you mentioned, it doesn't appear to be working. You know, if America is getting something better from Russia, it's the best kept secret in Washington. It looks like, you know, Obama simply has not had a tough posture toward them. And this decision to give Snowden asylum is really, it's a slap in the face.
And one of the things I read yesterday was it's time for our president to slap back. What do you suspect, other than not going to a summit, which I'm not sure will ruin Vladimir Putin's summer, what can Obama do to really show his disapproval for not only this action, but other thumbing of the nose towards Washington from Moscow?
Maybe stop saying that, you know, as soon as he has more flexibility, he can do even more things to help them. That might be a start. But, you know, not going to the summit, it seems like, yes, it's just them talking. I doubt Putin is very excited for that. But it is an important foreign policy moment. It is something. My understanding is there's no precedent for the United States backing out of a summit like this after the Cold War. So it would make quite a statement. It might make Putin unsure of where he stands with the United States. I think it could be an effective signal.
Do you believe that the president, perhaps when it came to missile defense early in his term, taking out the batteries and the installations in Eastern Europe and trying to curry favor with Putin in some ways, was trying to build up a reservoir of goodwill that he just assumed Putin would return, but is now realizing Putin has no intention of returning unless it does himself some good?
Yes, I would bet that's what's going on through his mind. I mean, I think we saw a lot of Obama in his first term trying to be, you know, he was so adamant that he was not going to be like George W. Bush. He was not going to be throwing America's weight around the world. He wasn't going to be that cowboy. But this Mr. Nice Guy approach doesn't seem to be working either. So,
and some would say same thing in the Middle East with all these different countries. Now right. Americans being encouraged not to go there for the next month and embassies closing essentially for days on end here in many different countries around that region. So If that wasn't enough of a depressing martini, let's move on to martini number three. And the July jobs numbers came out on Friday morning. We saw the overall unemployment rate drop to 7.4%. 162,000 non-farm jobs created, which is below expectations. But if you dig deeper, you find out that a lot of those are part-time jobs. The labor participation rate is still only about 63%, the lowest level since about 1979. They revised numbers down from the last 2 months, and so most people aren't too excited about this. And this goes along with another story we found at hotair.com, Katrina, that shows that 36% of the nation's young adults between ages 18 to 31, which is higher than 2007 when the recession started and 2009 when it officially ended, 36% still living at home with their parents. There's obviously a pretty strong divide between those between 18 and 24, which are in the college range, and those older than that. But still, in both of those segments, the numbers are rising, and I think we're seeing indicators in the jobs report here why that's the case.
Right, absolutely. I think some of this, I believe it's 16% of young adults who are 25 to 31 who are living at home. And you have to assume that for many of them, the issue is they're either not employed or they're employed at a part-time job. Or, I mean, of course, sure, some people do want to live with their family. That's great. But, you know, these higher rates indicate that this isn't being done by choice. This is due to economic distress.
And so, Katrina, if you're the Republican Party here and you've been shellacked in the millennial vote over the last couple of cycles, yet these numbers, both in jobs for young people as well as their living situation, is as bad as it is, does this just make you more depressed about trying to win that vote?
I think it might make you more depressed because I have to give the Romney campaign credit that they really did try to play up that angle. They really talked about joblessness among millennials, about how young voters were so hurt by the Obama economy. Of course, Paul Ryan had that famous line in his speech about young adults looking at fading Obama posters on their walls. They did do better among millennials, I believe, than John McCain did, but it was still a shellacking, as you say, by Obama. So I think the GOP needs to continue to think about what they can do to attract millennials. I think stressing the terrible Obama economy is part of that, but it can't be the entire outreach.
And we may see how much they still love Obama with how large the numbers are of those young people that are quite healthy who sign up for the exchanges. I think that's the next big target for the White House here. I don't know if these numbers are deflating that optimism and folks having to actually spend their own money rather than showing up to vote. What do you think of that?
I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And my prediction is that not very many young adults sign up for it. I think, as you said, it's much harder to get people to make a financial sacrifice than it is to vote for someone, post about it on Facebook, talk to all their friends about how cool Obama is. You know, young adults, many of whom don't have great paychecks, signing on to an exchange, I mean, that's just a cut that most of them don't need health insurance. And I think it's going to be very interesting if they actually vote with their pocketbooks the same way they did with their actual ballots.
Snubbed by Russia, turmoil in the Middle East, disappointing jobs number, folks living at home with their parents. Happy birthday this weekend, Mr. President. It's not exactly the best news he was probably hoping for heading into that celebration. But Katrina, thank you so much for being with us, and have a great day. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
Katrina Trinko of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And once again, a reminder that the Three Martini Lunch is going on summer vacation next week. Jim Garrity and I will be back together on Monday, August 12th, with the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.